Okay, dann würde ich jetzt zum zweiten Vortrag übergehen. Wir werden uns jetzt beschäftigen mit der Kampagne gegen TTIP oder TTIP, ich bin mir immer nicht so sicher. Sagen wir TTIP. Und genau, also diesmal nähern wir uns sozusagen den Webprotesten von der anderen Seite, nämlich über eine spezifische inhaltliche Kampagne und werden dann im Prinzip beide Seiten beleuchten. Also sowohl das, was angeboten wurde, als auch das, was sich neben den Angeboten noch an zusätzlichen Räumen erkämpft wurde oder eben versucht wurde. Und es wird ein bisschen um die Frage gehen, welche Auswirkungen Proteste, die in und um das Web gruppiert sind, eigentlich auf ein konkretes politisches Projekt haben können. Ich begrüße dazu Anne Pauli, Doktorandin am Institut für politische Wissenschaft in Aachen, beschäftigt sich dort in ihrer Doktorarbeit mit Oppositionsstrukturen und Oppositionspolitik in der EU, politische Opposition in neuen Öffentlichkeiten. Und im Prinzip geht es ja in diesem Projekt auch um ein ganz ähnliches Thema. Ich freue mich sehr und würde auch das Wort dann direkt weitergeben. Herzlich willkommen.
Ich trage von hier unten vor. Zwei Dinge vorab. Vielen Dank für die Einladung und dass ich hier vortragen darf. Der Vortrag ist auf Englisch. Wenn es ganz konkrete Fragen gibt, zwischendurch dann einfach Hand hoch. Ansonsten die anderen Fragen dann im Anschluss, bitte. The Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership and Political Participation in Web 2.0. At the beginning, I'm going to get a couple of definitions out of the way. What is political participation? I've used a wide definition, as in all voluntary activities by individual citizens intended to influence either directly or indirectly political choices at various levels of the political system. It's bottom-up and top-down processes, and I will argue that they are complementary and interacting parts. And there are two requirements. One is information and transparency of the process. There are a huge amount of different ways to politically participate. These are just a couple of examples, which have all been used in the negotiation process around the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, as well as top-down, offline, and online methods, and bottom-up, offline, and online methods. The majority of online methods are Web 1.0, and very few are social media or Web 2.0 based. A quick definition of social media or what is Web 2.0. I'm sure we all have different definitions in our heads. I've used a wide definition as a group of internet-based applications, and what I think is key is that it allows for the creation and exchange of user-generated content. So the creating, editing, and sharing of content is what makes a difference between Web 2.0 and Web 1.0 appliances. Now in Germany, just a few facts. The most popular are obviously Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. I've looked at all three of them. What I think, because this is still work in progress, I've collected a lot of data. I've only analyzed the data relating to Twitter, however. So in this particular presentation, I'm focusing on the tool, the social media tool, Twitter. For sake of information, there are around 10 million Twitter accounts in Germany, but only 1.4 to 1.9 of these Twitter accounts or these actors actually create content, hence tweet or retweet information. The Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, I'm not going to go into the detail of what it entails. It's a negotiation process between the European Commission and the trade officials in the United States. In this presentation, I'll be looking at top-down and bottom-up processes of influencing the political decision-making process, and I'll be looking at the actors. Who is it that communicates and participates in these digital publics? I've used a multi-method approach. I've done a historical analysis of events, what has happened so far. I've done a quantitative analysis of different social media tools, in particular in this presentation, Twitter, in order to get an idea for the actors, the spheres of action and levels of participation, coupled with a qualitative analysis. And I still have to interview these actors, which is then the content or qualitative analysis. So it's still very much work in progress. Now, looking at the top-down processes in Web 2.0, there are a range of processes. There are very many offline top-down approaches, such as the elections to the European Parliament and the Commission. There are several negotiation rounds, all accompanied with stakeholder briefings and stakeholder updates. These have increased in intensity. That's the blue lines in this diagram. There are very few Web 1.0 top-down approaches. There are only three. All blue ones. The dark blue ones are the elections. The medium blue are these are all top-down offline approaches. The medium blue ones are the negotiation rounds, and the light blue ones are the stakeholder engagements around these negotiation rounds. Now the three Web 1.0 events, so-called events, were two consultations which happened on ISDS, on the arbitration courts, and on small and medium-sized enterprises initiated by the Commission. And the revamping of the website, it's turned from a very user-unfriendly website to a user-friendly website with a lot of contact details and buttons named Have Your Say. There is only one, and this is the orange in this diagram, one Web 2 event that's occurred in the last 1.5 years, and that's a chat called EU Chat TTIP, hashtagged, led by this Web 2 event, led by the EU negotiation team and their Twitter account. This was the first ever that the European Commission held an online chat inviting other users to ask questions on the negotiation process and on TTIP. Over 100 questions were submitted. It took place on the 11th of July between 10 o'clock and 10:30. The majority of questions were answered. They included a range of topics from consumer rights to small and medium-sized businesses. And the majority were asked by organizations, civil society organizations. This is the EU negotiation team. The EU has a Twitter account. This is the only social media tool which they use. It's called EU_TTIP team. It was established on the 13th of June 2013 when the negotiation mandate was first handed over to the European Commission. Since then, they've had nearly 2,000 tweets and over 11,000 followers. I've conducted a quantitative analysis of the tweets. They broadly correspond with major events which occurred offline. However, they don't give an indication as to the content now or to the political participation which they enable. So I had a look at the interaction and grouped the contents of the tweets into three categories. One is simply conveying information. The other one is a dialogue, that is replies or responses to questions asked by other users. And the last one is mobilization. That's the result. 89% of the tweets conveyed information, gave links to website, and so on. This is my favorite tweet, actually. Wait for white smoke continues, trade ministers to resume discussion. This was posted on one of the first tweets posted when the Council of Ministers debated the negotiation mandate, comparing that to the election of the Pope is, I think, quite striking. 10% were dialogue, where the EU Commission actually held conversations or replied to other profile users. I come back to these actors later on. And 1% was participation or mobilizing people to do something. And I've categorized these basically as those tweets which included verbs such as sign or join or sign up for or retweet. So urging the other profile users to do something. This is one of them, join with EU chat. That's to get people to submit a question. The other one is register for a stakeholder event. So that's urging people to participate. In summary, they used a range of top-down participative approaches. The majority were offline and only very few online. They only used Twitter, and in this social media tool, the focus was on conveying information rather than political participation. Looking at the bottom-up processes, there are a lot of bottom-up processes. There are a range of actors. And for this presentation, I'm going to focus on a couple of striking examples. The range of the actors are in Germany are around a coalition of NGOs called Bündnis Unverhandelbar. They are organizations such as Campact, ATTAC, Mehr Demokratie e.V., Umweltinstitut. It's a broad coalition, and they are basically the founders of the opposition to TTIP in Germany. There are a range of information and events, and what links all of these bottom-up processes are, well, two things. One is they don't differentiate between offline Web 1.0 and Web 2.0. Any event that occurs offline is accompanied with actions online, and the same the other way around. And they are closely linked to the top-down processes. Two examples. One is a consultation answer guide. A consultation answer guide was issued by the official opposition in Germany, and I want to show the responsiveness between the bottom-up processes and the top-down processes in this example. On the 12th of March 2014, the European Commission issued a consultation on the arbitration courts, ISDS, and this is, I quote, due to the strong public interest in this issue. The consultation went online and was criticized by the NGOs as being too technical. Hence, they issued consultation answer guides. They reduced the technical barriers to a minimum and urged people to basically sign this petition and by inserting your name, your email address, and country, and answering whether you want your name to appear on the European Commission website, you had sent your answer to the European Commission as reply to this consultation. Now, over 150,000 people answered to the consultation. It is unclear whether any of them had read the answers they'd actually sent. In this example, you can find the answers here. It links to a PDF, and this PDF is a 20-page document. However, the power of the numbers, the sheer amount of people who responded to the consultation had a great impact in the media, ultimately leading to, obviously, personnel problems in the newly established commission with Malmström, Timmermans, and Juncker. And it's led to crisis at national level, for example, Sigmar Gabriel backtracking on his party's decision to not support ISDS in CETA. That's an example of how they correspond with one another, the top-down and bottom-up processes. Another example is of how the opposition use a lot of tools in order to strategically plan and create their protest. There is one main Twitter account, that's the ECI TTIP Twitter account, strongly linked to the registration or the application of the registration of the European Citizens Initiative. There have been 660 tweets, and they have well over 2,000 followers now. This is alongside a lot of other social media tools, such as Facebook or their blog. They post a lot of pictures from press conferences, and this is quite a personal picture of the main organizers, Marita Strasser and Michael Effler, on how they've now had their 200th member to join their protest team. They also use hashtags a lot in accumulating their protest in numbers. For example, they created a Twitter storm on the European Day of Action, when they urged followers to hashtag their Twitter tweets with this hashtag. But again, this was accompanied with a lot of street action. That is, they got people to local actors to go out and sign petitions. And as this tweet shows, stating, "We've got mail from you," it took a postman and three campaigners to get it all upstairs, thousands of them, and that's the petitions that were signed on the streets, besides the petitions that were signed online. They use a lot of other tools. There's, for example, Thunderclap. Thunderclap is a crowd speaking platform which gained fame when Obama initiated a campaign called hashtag Now's the Time Against Gun Crime in America, as well as embedding social media on the Web 1.0 appliances. That is, for example, SockNet, making sure that the Twitter is embedded in their blog. Interestingly, this is an example where microblogging is used, or the creation of user content on Twitter is then turned into a blog or a blog in Web 1.0. And the other one is embedding of maps in order to strategically organize different offline protests online. Now, again, I want to look at the interaction to see if there are any differences between the opposition and the European Commission. It's similar. 95% of the tweets are information, 1% is dialogue, and 4% is mobilization. There's a slight difference between dialogue or communication and mobilization compared to the European Commission. Now, for the second part, I had a look at the actors. I defined actors as all voluntary activities by individual citizens. Now I grouped them. Where it says EU, it's EU official institutions or politicians. I kind of shortened that. These are the actors who communicated with the European Commission. It's not surprising. They communicate with their own, or they communicate with their opposition, that is organized activists. It's similar with the, what they didn't do is communicate with lobbyists on Twitter, surprisingly. It's quite similar to the opposition. They also didn't communicate with lobbyists, but they also didn't communicate with journalists. The individuals are men, they are white, they communicate in English. And this brings us back to a topic we discussed last night. Who are these individuals? The majority of these are bloggers, those that post thousands and thousands of tweets every month on a variety of topics. Now, are these bloggers, who are these bloggers? Are they, can I differentiate between someone working for an organization as an individual? Are these, can I categorize these individuals as individuals or as members of an organization? So I haven't quite figured out how to categorize these individuals or these bloggers. Now I want to also look at monitoring, that is on the followers or who they follow, as the last part of the presentation. Now for the EU team, again, it's not surprising. They monitor either their own institutions or the official Twitter accounts or the opponents, as in organized activists. And the same occurs for the official opposition, that is, they again monitor their opposition, that is the official EU accounts, but at the same time monitor their own organized activists, that is the other NGOs. Now for a summary, Now, first of all, striking was the term individuals on how to categorize it. I haven't figured it out. The other one is the majority of the NGOs opposing or being active in Web 2.0 are so-called campaign organizations such as Campact and Attack and 38 Degrees, Move On. These organizations are quite new in their characters. They don't focus on a particular topic, but call themselves progressive. They use the method as a goal, but not a topic as one as such. and I quite haven't figured out how to group these or categorize these campaign organizations yet. In terms of comparison with Facebook and Google+, I haven't analyzed the data yet, but what I can see is there isn't one Web 2.0. When De Gucht called social media monstrous, that's quite a simplification because there isn't one social media or one Web 2.0, but there are very different tools. For example, Twitter. There aren't many people who use Twitter. Twitter is, in Germany, for example, only 1.4 million people have ever posted anything on Twitter or a tweet. And that's exactly what Twitter is. Kurznachrichtendienst, Marketing Tool, Recherchewerkzeug, Zeitung. Twitter is all about information. It's about conveying information, but not about political participation. You can differentiate between mobilization, which is probably more likely on Facebook, but again, Facebook is very limited for dialogue as well. Now, I don't have data to show for that yet, but this is the indication I get from the data I've gotten. And what's very important is that when looking at Twitter, is that anything that's posted needs to basically be shown in a campaign or an offline action in order for it to get media attention. So there has to be a strong link with offline and online actions or campaigns. Okay, that's me.